ask this question. Do you truly believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? And that was a question, again, that was asked during the New Testament time. In John 10, verse 36, Christ there says, "Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent to the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?" And again, this was made when you turn in the context of this in chapter 10. When he talks about the Jews accuse him of blaspheming, verse 33, says, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, make yourself God." He quotes an Old Testament scripture that people in the Old Testament are called the sons of God, and in reference to their eternal being, the Spirit, that all are gods in that sense. And then he says, "If he called them God, to whom the Word of God came, the Scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent to the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?" In John chapter 9, when you turn back to that, kind of set the context of this. In verse 1 and 2, it has the idea of Jesus healing the individual there who was blind. The question is asked in verse 2, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And then in verse 12, we see that they brought him, this one who was healed, to the Pharisees. In verse 15, "And the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Because of this miracle, the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." Not even acknowledging the miracle that he done. He said, well, he's guilty because he don't keep the Sabbath. And so they would not accept that, but made some other charge to him. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. Again, much division exists today who Jesus Christ is. There was division in those, even those who saw him, saw the miracles. And yet it failed to acknowledge those miracles. So there was division at that time. When you go over to verse 29, and keep this statement in mind as we go through the class, talks about the Jews and Pharisees. We know that God spoke to Moses. What do you think of that reference when it says we know what God spoke to Moses? But as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. They're admitting one thing here, what? They're acknowledging that God through the Old Testament done what? Through Moses. Huh?
Spoke to Moses.
What else? He appeared to Moses in a burning bush. What does that imply? A miracle. We know what God done through Moses of coming out of Egypt, the miracles and all the words that were spoken. They said, we admit, we know this. So they know that God performed miracles during that time. The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, but yet you know the teachings of Moses. Yet he has opened my eyes." Then he says to them, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Again, this individual accepting that he was the Son of God. And then the Pharisees, those Jewish people, answered, "You are completely born in sins. And are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. And then he makes a statement in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When they had found him, he said to them, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And of course, he said he did. So he recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. John chapter 10, verse 30, Christ there says, "I and my Father are one," having reference that he was with the Father. He knew the Father. John 17 and verse 3, Christ there says, "And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The question be, do we know Jesus? In other words, do we have a knowledge or knowing Him here is equated to what? Eternal life. We must know who Jesus is. We must have a knowledge, and we must accept the facts that were written in this book concerning all that He did, even the miracles that He did. We must accept all that, and that's what the question was asked then. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And some did, and some didn't. So that's the pattern throughout history, that some would always accept God, and some would not. Again, each of the statements Jesus makes, I am, helps us more to know who Jesus is. And this one is a very important statement Jesus makes here when He makes this claim, I am the Son of God, even though there were many who made that claim during New Testament times. And we looked at that last week. When Jesus referred to the God of heaven as my Father, in John 5 and verse 17, the Jews sought to kill Him in verse 18 because He makes this claim. The reason He's doing that, they said He's making Himself equal to whom? The Father, okay? He's making Himself equal to the Father. He makes the same claim in John chapter 10, verse 25, when He says, the work that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Again, in verse 31, the Jews took up stones to stone Him. And it should be noted in this, when others referred to Jesus as the Son of God, that He never objected or attempted to correct them because they spoke the truth when they did so. People at that time, as this blind man said, I believe that you are God's Son. Jesus didn't say, you don't need to say that. He accepted that statement because it was a fact. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33. As Jesus walks on the water and the storm is there, it says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Again, Jesus accepted this worship. He did not try to correct that, you know, you don't need to do that, I'm not God. He accepted He is God. He knew who He was. And so He did not attempt to correct that. Nathanael's statement in John 1 verse 49, you are, if you look familiar with English, you are means this present time. You are the Son of God. At that time He was the King when He came to earth. That you are the Son of God. Many today deny the claim that Jesus is the Son of God, even as those Jews did then. So many Jews today do not accept that Jesus has come because they're still looking for an earthly kingdom. And so they do not accept that He has come already. Muslims deny that He is the only begotten Son. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was the first created being. And so you have different visions or thoughts concerning who Jesus is. And the world is divided over this. Through all of the arguments and beliefs of who Jesus is, the fact is He is the Son of God without question. And the proof can be seen by two immutable or two unchanging or unable to change the facts that the Bible reveals. In your studies, you may have looked at other things on this, okay? These, again, are my thoughts that I look at. If you have different thoughts, be sure to mention them, because it is a study by all. The first unchangeable fact is the miracles of Christ. When the Jews refused to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus told them in John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, He's had reference to it, though you don't believe what I'm teaching or my ministry, believe on me because of the works that I do. Believe the works, the nature of them, where they're from. That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. When you turn to John chapter 20. Someone read you verses 29 through 31.
Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet do not believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Okay. And so we have this word of reliable witnesses. And that man wrote these things who were inspired by God. They could not commit an error in processing those thoughts of God unto us through words today. But again, those at that time, he says, you're Thomas, you believe because you've seen things. Okay? That he was without excuse, if you will. But many at that time did not see the miracles that Jesus done. And much like we are today, we have to accept those things based upon what is written. Luke chapter 23 and verse 8. Luke there says, if I do not the works of my Father, again, if I do not the works of my Father, what was Jesus meaning by this statement? If I do not the works of my Father. Luke 23 and verse 8. Well, I've got to put it down wrong. Here you have an individual of Herod. Somebody read 23 and verse 8.
Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him.
Well, implying what? That you have an individual who had not seen a miracle, but he had heard of the miracles and wanted to see one, if you will, in reality, that he could witness that. The works that Jesus did must equal that which his Father did. That's a very important statement. When the Jews said, we know what God and Moses done, we know that. So what Jesus must have done must equal that to his Father, because that was the only way to prove what? That he was his son, that he was from the Father, and that the Father sent him. So that'd be of equal thing, that the miracles that God could perform in the Old Testament, those miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament, must meet that equation. They couldn't be less or no more. Okay, so you need to keep that in mind. And could it's the miracles that no other could do. You remember the miracles of Pharaoh's servants, magicians? Could they duplicate every miracle that God performed? And yet, though he finally acknowledged that what Moses was saying was from the true God, other people could not duplicate these miracles, even though through magical arts they were able to perform one or two. But as those miracles again progressed and progressed, again they could not perform those miracles. And when you look at the denominational world and people goes on today, they attribute almost anything to a miracle. Okay? Individuals you talk to say it's a miracle, they survive such. Or it may be through an operation or whatever, it's just a miracle. Well, it's not a miracle. Because people fail to understand what a miracle is. And so, these conclusions you had to come to was there was no other source of them. And healing this individual that was blind, but simply putting clay on his eyes, you could not attribute it to nature taking care of itself. It had to come from some other source. So it's something that could not be done by others. They had to be equal with God, the Father, the miracles that he performed in the Old Testament. And so the question was asked, do you believe? Verse 38. Says, but if I do, get back to the chapter.
John 10:37-38,
yeah. Verse 37, Jesus says, you have both seen him and he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Verse 38, as we mentioned earlier, he believed through what Jesus has done that the works of the Father, that, but if I do, that is the works of the Father, what the Father could do, then believe those works that I am the Son of God. Again, he's not asking to believe upon what he has talked about or foretold, but upon the miracles that he had done. And they believed when he said, I am the Son of God, but and they did not believe when he said, I am the Son of God, but the works that he performed were to be equal with the Father of heaven and could not be denied with only one equal who could perform them. John chapter 5 and verse 36. Christ our says, but I have a greater witness than John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me these miracles. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Again, Jesus spoke to the multitude saying, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, the kingdom has come upon you at this time. Again, reference is not made here that the kingdom was there. As we know through the preaching of John the Baptist and through the preaching of Christ, repent for the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. But it hadn't come yet. And Donnie has dealt with that in his lessons. It came upon Pentecost. But he says that in this verse, the kingdom of God has come upon you. And my study on that is he's teaching here the king has come to you. That's going to set up the kingdom. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? If Jesus was an imposter and a liar, the Father would not contribute to his lies and miracles. Nicodemus stated in John chapter 3 and verse 2, he said, no man can do these signs unless God is with him. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, someone reads,
men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as yourselves also know.
Again, this word that you know what? You know the miracles that he performed. And of course, we know during their discourse that the apostles also were able to perform these miracles that could only be attributed to whom? To God, okay? Showing that they were the ones that God, that Christ had sent to preach to the whole world. And so these things, if you will, are undeniable that you have so many eyewitnesses that witness this. And again, the reaction to these, some accepted those and some would not. A miracle will perform today that you could not explain, a true miracle. You're still not going to convince the world, of all the world, that it was a miracle. But you take something lesser than a miracle that's performed today, a lot of people will accept it. And so knowing the meaning of what a miracle is.
Jews were the same way. They just continuously wanted more and more signs.
Yeah. But when you look at, did they receive enough signs? Was there sufficient evidence there?
Yes.
For people to believe. If you did not know the teachings of what Jesus taught, would it perk your interest or thoughts in seeing what he'd done to know that he was different from other men? Take away his ministry, because they didn't accept his ministry, his words. And even the Pharisees and others did not accept the miracles. Although they might accept the miracles, they would say that he broke, he was not from God because he didn't keep the Sabbath. They wouldn't deny the miracle, but they wouldn't accept his teaching. But there was sufficient evidence there to those. So these miracles and wonders and signs that Jesus did were undeniable. Matthew 8 and verse 26. Someone read.
Why are you afraid, you of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was
Right? You have Jesus' power over what here? Right? Over nature. The purity shows that he's got the power over nature. Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, we'll not read, but you have there the feeding of what? Who? The feeding of the 5,000. And so it shows Jesus' power over the material world. He could produce food that no one else could produce. So you have nature, the material world. John 11, 20 through 45, of course you have there in that chapter, those verses, that of Lazarus, and so you have the power over death that Jesus possessed. Matthew 8, verse 31, the power of the demonic world. He could cast out demons. And all this was demonstrated by his works that he done, these miracles that he done, to prove that he is the Son of God. Maybe even more that you can add to that list. But these things Jesus were able to do that no other man could do. And so the only conclusion you should have drawn, those should have drawn, who witnessed these things, was as a blind man, you are the Son of God. But we know that did not happen. We know later that he was put to death, not recognized as the Son of God. Not even the Jews want to put above a sign that he says he is the Son of God. And then what was wrote up there, the Son of God, they said, don't put that up there. Again, failing to acknowledge who he was. And it's a great thing that we accept that by faith. We have to accept that by faith. Any questions? That's the first undeniable fact concerning that when Jesus made the statement saying that I am the Son of God. Any thoughts anyone has on that?
Even the demon recognized who it was, because when he cast them out, they said, you are the Holy One, the Son of God.
You may have already mentioned in John chapter 7, verse 31, the Bible says that many other people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this man does? Neither religious leaders, like you said, some, they were eyewitnesses to those things. And Nicodemus even said, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because no one will do these miracles except God be with him. And it always amazed me, and it shows the condition of the people, that when the Lord said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, in John 5. In light of all the things that they saw and heard, they still will say and deny and say that he's not the Son of God. And we've got just a handful, as it were, of what he did. And those are sufficient to cause us to believe and have faith that would obey him.
God understood what? As he's talking about what he revealed, that should be sufficient to cause obedience, to admit that I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We know that throughout Acts chapter 8, that statement was made merely by the preaching there of the Old Testament. That he believed, the Ethiopian eunuch did, and he believed that Jesus Christ was God's Son. And so there's more than sufficient evidence, but it often amazes me, as Pharaoh, to be witnesses of the greatness of God, to continually deny the source of those things. And even of the Jews and the Pharisees at that time, they just would not admit, even though they didn't try to maybe deny the miracles, but they would not admit the source of them. Okay? Even though they would admit the source in the Old Testament, when they said, we know about Moses and God then. We know about those things that were performed at that time, but we're not going to accept that today, during that time. Anything else, anyone? The other undeniable fact is the resurrection of Christ. It's an undeniable fact proving that Jesus is the Son of God in his resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1. Verse 2. Which he promised before through his holy prophets and the holy scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We can be sure that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead. If we did not believe that, you wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't either. We may be on a fishing somewhere or something else. But those here must believe that, or you wouldn't be here. Unless you just come to be seen, then being here is useless. But I'm convinced each one here, in the confession they made in being saved, believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We know He was resurrected because He died before a nation of eyewitnesses. And again, we're not told maybe who all, but we are told a great number that saw Him. But He died before a nation of eyewitnesses and was placed in a tomb. And later that same tomb was found empty. You have things here that cannot, if you will, be denied. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 1, talks about those Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to the tomb. In verse 5, it says, the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek the Lord who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. The witnesses there could look and see that Jesus was not in the tomb. A good reason would have to be given of why there was an empty tomb. And of course, you did have some excuses during New Testament time. What were those? Do you remember?
It came stolen.
Okay? So, even with the security of the Roman guards, of course, if a Roman guard at that time failed to carry out an order that was placed upon him, what happened to that Roman guard?
Killed.
Hey, this is right. So you can rest assured they would make whatever security they could to make sure that that body was not stolen, because it was going, their life would have been required of them. Joseph Arimathea came to Pilate and asked if he could take the body of Christ away. And again, when you look at this, Pilate did not agree at first to this request. Why?
You think he died that quick.
So when you go on and read this in Mark chapter 15, verses 42 through 46, it states there that Pilate marveled that he was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. And so you had the centurion who was there, you had Pilate who asked that question. They said he's dead. So there was no doubt, or should not have been no doubt. In John chapter 19, verses 33, when the soldiers came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. Again, an eyewitness of people who were not Christians recording this, okay? It was not his followers that would be making these statements up, but those who did not even believe in him. And again, no one without offering excuses could explain why the tomb was empty. Jesus indeed was resurrected from the dead by the power of God. When you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. This is talking about the Father, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. So He was raised again by the Father. Proves who He was. Again, accepting truth, this truth that Christ rose from the dead, is a necessity that we have become Christians, according to Acts chapter 8. Jesus stated, I am the Son of God. He is a divine being. He cannot be the Son of God without being the same kind of person as the Father is. If I say that I'm a human being, when I tell you I have a son, what do you conclude? I'm not talking about I have a cat or a dog. I have someone in my likeness, my similitude. Okay? And so when he said that I am the Son of God, he was talking about the spiritual, the eternal one. And of course, if my son's like me, he's human. And so the same thing applies. I have a time to be born. I have a time to die. That was not so with the Father. They share the same nature from the standpoint that the Father and Son are equal and that they are eternal. This is why the Jews wanted to stone him every time he made the statement. In John chapter 5, verse 18, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also that he said that God was his Father, making him equal to God. You could also look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and John 1, verse 1. Again, these passages show his acceptable words to Jesus at that time. Jesus walked on the water, Matthew chapter 14. Verse 33 states his disciples worship him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Hebrews 1 and verse 6, that all the angels of God worship him. When we confess our belief that Jesus is the Son of God, we are at that time acknowledging his deity. It is to deny, if we don't do that, it's deny that he is who he says that he is. When we read the words, "I am the Son of God," it should cause us to bow in humble admiration. At the very reading of these words, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, if you read that, we take these words lightly, it shows that we have a lack of understanding who Jesus truly is. We claim we know him and keep not his commandments. We are a liar, that we are serving him. 1 John 2 and verse 4. He who says, "I know him," does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We know him, keep his commandments, we understand his nature. That's what a Christian is. And that's the foundation of our faith, okay? Any thoughts from anyone?
In John chapter 5, verse 18, if you read there, where Heather was against Jesus because he called God his Father, and then himself equal with God. Jews called Abraham their father, and in the same way, they were equating themselves equal with Abraham, that yet they did not have faith in Abraham's life. In God, they should have more in Christ.
Thank you. Anything else, anyone? Okay, thank you.